Welcome to the French Horn Experiment. I'm Nathan Lutz, and in this podcast, I'll be exploring with you all things French horn, from solo repertoire to orchestral excerpts, from modern experiments to old favorites. So, last episode, I spent mostly looking at what the horn is capable of, but didn't really look at what it's usually used for. If you ask a bunch of horn players what the stereotype of a French horn part is, their answers will probably tell you a lot about their personalities. The optimists will wax poetic about those epic cinematic horn solos, the sublime melodies, and the heroic fanfares which, admittedly, act more or less as our primary recruiting devices. Meanwhile, the pessimists will point to the great scourge of the French horn world, John Philip Sousa, who, along with a few co-conspirators, has been tormenting legions of naive band members for over a century.
I'm glad this concert is almost over. I wonder if there are fireworks afterwards. Would that make it worth all this?
Fortunately, Sousa and his ilk are mostly relegated to summer band concerts, so our suffering is limited. Even more fortunately, it so happens that the French horn is capable of more than two kinds of music. So, let's take a look. Okay, so that excerpt goes way back before horns had valves, so far back that the very concept of the instrument wasn't much beyond metal hunting horn, which plays sort of in tune on occasion. It's from J.S. Bach's Brandenburg Concerto No. 1 around 1713. But wait, I hear you saying. I hear your horn valves clicking on that recording. How could someone play this without valves? Well, quite simply, you don't absolutely need valves to play this passage. All brass instruments can play certain sets of notes without using or changing valves. This is called an overtone series. No more valve clicking now. Brass players can change the pitch by moving the shape of their lips, the position of the tongue, and the speed and pressure of the air into the instrument. This is called the embouchure. But notice that toward the low end, the notes aren't very close together, so it's a little limiting musically. In the middle octave, we do get a major triad and a seventh, and we can almost play a scale in the high range. So I can actually play that passage again, but without valves. Sounds great, except for a few weird notes which have that buzzing sound. It may seem strange, but that sound was the secret weapon of horn players for many years. It's made possible by the unique design of the French horn, which, unlike other brass instruments, faces the bell to one side so that the player can hold their hand inside the bell flare. By closing our hand over the airstream in just the right way, we can actually change the pitch a little. This is called hand stopping. So between our unusually close together overtone series and our hand-stopping superpower, horn players had access to more notes than any other brass instrument for about a century. And that's how you get pieces like this. Thank you. That's the beginning of Mozart's Second Horn Concerto, written in 1783. Played with valves on a modern horn, it's not the most technically impressive piece to play, but without valves, it's really difficult. Here's that first passage again without valves. Without valves, that clarity has to come from the breath, the embouchure, and the position of the right hand in the bell. So, it's hardly a surprise that Mozart's everyday horn parts sounded a bit more like this. That's pretty typical for horn parts in the classical era, but unlike Sousa, we can forgive Mozart for writing a few boring horn parts since they were all you could expect from ordinary orchestral horn players at the time. But soon... That's the horn trio from the Scherzo of Beethoven's Third Symphony, which is beginning to leave the classical era behind and enter the Romantic era. This is 1804, and even though Beethoven isn't requiring valves just yet, the horn parts are getting much more interesting and are even beginning to work together. Around this time, however, horn players were starting to tinker with their instruments. By adding a bit of extra tubing and a mechanism to change the flow of air through it, a brass player can change the length of their instrument mid-passage and shift their whole overtone series up or down. For composers, this was a game changer. Before, you had to specify at the beginning of a piece what key you wanted the horn to play in. The horn player would pull a piece of tubing or crook out of their bag and install it on the instrument, defining its length and therefore the list of available notes. If you wanted different notes, you had to give the player a few bars of rest during which they might remove the crook and install another one of different length. Valves let you make those key changes instantly, and by cherry-picking notes from one or the other overtone series, you can fill in a lot of notes with just one or two valves. But it takes at least three valves to be able to reach every chromatic note along the usual range of the horn. Thank you. That's the horn solo from Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, written in 1888. By this time, horns are fairly close to their modern design. With no valves down, these instruments were pitched in either F or B flat. Eventually, the F horn would become the predominant instrument. For some odd reason, we Americans seem to have translated this into French horn, where the rest of the world just says horn, or at most, forest horn. Alongside the evolving instrument, composers were writing ever more challenging horn parts, like this excerpt from the beginning of Richard Strauss's 1898 Ein Heldenleben. For any horn teachers out there who are all covering their ears in pain, I'm really sorry I picked this out just to demonstrate how hard these parts were getting. This was around the peak of Romantic era orchestral writing, and it's beginning to push the boundaries of what the French horn is technically capable of. Even with the fourth valves, which became standard, and the fifth valves, which some modern horn players are adding, the music from this era is still a real challenge. So, where do we go from here? Well, music in general went through a profound change in this period. Cultures were mingling more than ever, two world wars dramatically changed life around the world, and so many composers began exploring other avenues. For example, this is Mixen, the second movement of Douglas Hill's Soliloquies for Jazz Horn. Okay, I'm still learning this whole jazz thing. I fully admit to having spent very little time outside the cult of orchestral music, but I'm trying. Boy, that stuff is hard. So, you ask, what was this cult of orchestral music doing during the 20th century? Well, let's take two examples which experiment with tonality and form in different ways. This first one is Otto Ketting's Intrada for solo horn. So, I like this piece. More specifically, I think it's fun to play, and as a hornist, it's also fun to listen to because it's exploring musical ideas that we don't often get to try out. That said, I can totally understand if, to someone else, it comes off as a little weird and stilted, more like an etude than something you'd like to be hanging out with. By contrast, we have pieces which are an expressive synthesis of many fields of musical thought. This can often start to sound like something which belongs in a movie, especially since we are playing it on the movie instrument. This is an excerpt from Erica Wazin's Horn Concerto, written in 2000. Thank you. where do I think horn music is going from here? I think it's going the same place that all music is going right now. That is, everywhere. There's a whole world of music out there, and with the right ensemble, horns can take part in any of it. The instrument has its strengths and weaknesses, to be sure, and it can be hard to find the right parts, but the effort of climbing out of our little box is well worth it. Even Sousa might be fun if we could just steal and transpose the euphonium parts. This has been the second episode of the French Horn Experiment. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, please leave a like and comment if there's something you'd like to hear me explore. Thanks for listening, and check out some French horn music.